So anyway, here we are today. We're in week three of this journey we're calling 40 Days in the Word. And the goal of this series, if you're taking notes, it's right on your notes. The goal of this campaign is threefold. It's to help us love the Word. It's help us to learn the Word. Are you with me? And it's help us, the most importantly, everybody say it together, live the Word. Because as someone wise said before, your life may be the only Bible other people read. So let's say those three things again. We're going to love the Word, we're going to learn the Word, and we're going to live the Word, okay? And as I've been saying, this campaign is primarily made up of two big pieces. This is piece number one, the Sunday morning service, where we come together and we hear these messages on the 40 days in the Word. So thank you for being here this morning. And the second piece of this campaign is small groups. And I'm here to report we have seven thriving small groups. And right now what I want to do is I just want to have everyone who's hosting a group, would you please stand to your feet right now so we can just honor you this morning. If you're hosting a group, if you could stand to your feet this morning. All right. Thank you. And I just want to tell those small group leaders, you're already a third of the way through the journey. You only have to clean your house four more times. How many people know when people are coming over, you want to clean the house, right? Don't open certain closets. You may be surprised, okay? So small group leaders, we do want to thank you for opening your home and showing hospitality and just warming, just being that type of person for other people. So I just want to thank you for that. Also in this series, Pastor Rick, we're following a curriculum by out of Saddleback Church in California. Pastor Rick is kind of leading the devotionals in our group. And he's really doing this. He's encouraging us to be people that are spending time in the Word of God each and every day, okay? Each and every day. And I really enjoyed this last Wednesday's, or this week's video. For us, it was on Thursday night. I really enjoyed the video because Rick was talking about quiet time, and he was talking about how to lead a quiet time, and he was encouraging people, hey, to spend time daily in the Word. And I like what he said there. I don't know if you caught this or not, but he said, hey, we're not asking you to spend 30 minutes a day. Because that would, some people, you're not there yet. He's saying, hey, if you would just start by spending 5 minutes a day, what would that look like in your life if you would begin to open up God's Word, start somewhere, start small, and begin to open up God's Word for just 5 minutes a day? And I realize that for many people, that is a challenge. That's a challenge. I know from time to time, it's a challenge for me. And I really think there's really two big challenges when it comes to spending time in God's Word. Challenge number one is this. Everybody say time. How many people have a hard time fitting, don't raise your hand, but you say, I have a hard time fitting God's, spending time in God's Word into my schedule every day. A lot of people would say that, okay? It's hard. We have these busy schedules. They're packed. We kind of have all these things in our mind, to-do lists, things we have to do. But somebody wise once said, and I want to say this with such love, and I want to say this with such kindness, but it's really the truth, and that is we make time for what's important. Amen? We really do. We make time for what's important. I know that there's certain things in my life that are very important, and I tried, and it's just those things have to happen every day. And I'm praying for myself. I'm praying for all of us. Would the Word of God be a priority in our lives, that we would just take 5 minutes opening God's Word, opening God's words and letting God speak to us. But I think there's one more big challenge that people face when it comes to spending time in the Word. And the conversation goes like this. I'm not going to nail it exactly the same way. But a lot of times I hear people say things like this. When I sit down to read the Bible, I just don't get anything out of it. Have you ever heard that conversation? Have you ever said that? I don't get anything out of it. I don't understand the Bible. I've tried to sit down and read the Bible, but I don't understand it. I just don't get it. It seems like it's dry. It seems like it's going over my head, and it's not making any sense. I've heard several people come to me throughout the year saying, you know, that's me. I know you want us to read the Bible. I know God wants us to spend time in His Word. But man, when it comes to it, I've tried. I've tried. Believe me, I've tried. I've given it everything I've got. But when I sit down, it just isn't happening for me, okay? And I want to let you know, if you've ever said that or if you've ever thought that, I've thought that, but if you've ever said that and thought that, you have picked a perfect Sunday morning to be here this morning, because what we're going to do is we're going to address that issue, okay? We're going to address that issue. Why is this, okay? And because here's the deal. And here's the life-changing truth that I want you to see this morning. It's in your notes. The life-changing truth is this, and that is that God wants to speak to me, and he wants to reveal himself to me. How? Through his word. So here's the deal, guys. God really does want to speak to you. So just ask yourself this question this morning. Do I believe that God wants to speak to me? And the answer is yes. Do I believe that God wants to reveal himself, show himself to me? The answer is yes. But here's how it often happens. God reveals himself to us as we sit down and we open the Bible. It's a beautiful, it's a powerful, powerful thing that God wants to speak to you where you're at today. Maybe you're carrying something heavy. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're lacking wisdom. Maybe you're lacking insight. God says, hey, open up my word. I want to speak to you. I want to give you direction. I want to give you insight. And here's what happens. We often forfeit that due to time, due to not understanding his word. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the big word of this morning. And the big word of this morning is the word illumination. Everybody say illumination. That's a biblical word. How many people have heard of the word illuminate before, or illumination? Raise your hand nice and high today. Everybody participating, you've heard of the word illumination. So let's begin our journey today talking about illumination. Because here's the deal. If we're going to understand the Bible, if we're going to understand how to apply the Bible, something supernatural is going to have to happen when you sit down with your Bible in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Here's what's going to happen for you to be able to connect with God, and that is that there's going to have to be illumination. Illumination. So what is illumination? It's in your notes this morning. It's on the screen today. Get this. Illumination is a process, or some people have said a ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is helping the reader to understand and apply biblical truth, okay? So illumination is simple. Let's look at that one more time. It's a process. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So it's all about the Holy Spirit. And he helps the reader, when they sit down, to understand and to apply the Bible. So I want you to notice two things that the Holy Spirit does when a believer sits down with their Bible. There's two things the Holy Spirit's doing. Okay, when you're with your word, when you're sitting down in your quiet time, he's helping you to understand what you're reading. How many people know God wants you to understand the Bible? Amen? It's not to be confusing. It's not to be some kind of cryption. It's not supposed to be some kind of riddle that you have to try to figure out on your own. It's not meant to be a mystery. But God wants you to really be able to sit down and to understand the Bible. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The second thing the Holy Spirit wants to help you with is, how do I apply the Bible? I mean, what does this look like in my life? I mean, or there's times when you read the Bible. Has this ever happened to you? And you read it in the Holy Spirit, and you read it, and you say to yourself, wow, that's exactly what I needed today. Has that ever happened to you before? For example, you could have read John chapter 14 one time, and about the 100th time through, you read that same chapter, and God says, shows you something new. And you're like, wow, he wants you to understand and apply the Bible. So someone said it this way, and I'm going to get out my phone because I got a little prop I want to show you this morning. Somebody put it this way, illumination is basically this. Okay, what's going on here? That's why I got it on the wrong thing. I'm new to iPhones, so smartphones, okay? Here's what illumination is. You open your Bible, and what it is, it's, my hands are sweaty. What's going on? There we go. Everybody say, turning on the light. That's what illumination is. It's turning on the light. And I want to let you know, please don't misunderstand me here. I'm not talking about turning on a physical light. I'm talking about when you sit down, the Holy Spirit turns on the light. It's image of, he turns on the light of your understanding. Does that make sense? Wow, now I can see, because why? We have the illumination of the Holy Spirit. It's turning on the light. So everybody has a cell phone right now. I'm giving you permission right now. 1, 2, 3, grab your phones and everybody turn on the light, put them in the air. That's illumination. All right. We got some illuminators here. Good for you. Thank you. Let's move on. So it's turning on the light. By the way, can I, Nolan, can you, oh, there we go. Emily, right there by you is my Bible. So this is my Bible. Okay. So when I sit down and I read, I have illumination. It's turning on the light. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He turns on the light, okay? So that I can understand what the Bible's saying, so I can understand how to apply it. It's called illumination, okay? So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about three things that we need to do and I made this personal in your notes, three things that I must do, you must do, in order to receive greater illumination. And I really want to speak from my heart this morning. I have a lot of notes, but I also understand what time we need to walk out of this room this morning, so we may not get done. But I know what time we need to leave, so I'm very conscious of that. But this morning, I want to talk about three very important things that you need to do, I need to do, in order for us to have this power of illumination at work in our life. Because here's the deal. God wants you to understand him. God wants to speak to you. God wants to reveal himself to you through his word. How many people want that in your life? That when you sit down, this book becomes alive. This book speaks to you. God speaks to you through his word. He reveals himself. So there's three things that we need to do. And the first one is really going to catch you by surprise. And let me turn off my light here. My battery's going low here. Okay? If you're going to receive the light of God's word, this is the first thing you need to do. And I want to speak to you from my heart this morning. First thing is you must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to write that down. You need to have a relationship. If you're going to have illumination when you read the word, if you're going to be able to understand the word, the starting point is right here. You have to have a relationship with Jesus. You say, why is a relationship with Jesus so important when it comes to illumination? Here's why. See, we need to understand there's a process. I want to explain this process to you. When you repent of your sins, which, by the way, is the work of the Holy Spirit itself, himself, he convicts us of sin, okay? Don't raise your hand, but have you ever experienced the conviction, the power of conviction of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever experienced that before? For me, I was a fifth grade boy sitting in a Baptist church, and the pastor preached a salvation message, and the Holy Spirit came upon me in such a powerful way that there was just this immense conviction that came over me for my sins. The Holy Spirit showed me that I was a sinner. There was just no doubt in my mind. It just was a very emotional moment, okay? So when we confess of our sins, and as a result, we turn and place our faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the only Savior. Does everybody understand that? Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's the only Lord. I want to let you know, the moment you do that, something incredible happens. Well, there's a lot of incredible things. You become born again. You become born of the Spirit, as Jesus talks about in John chapter 3. You become spiritually alive, new, okay? But here's also what happens. When you become a Christian, when you repent of your sins and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, here's what God does. He makes a deposit in your life. And the deposit that he makes in your life is the person of the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. Do you understand that this morning? When you put your faith in Christ and you say, I'm going to submit to your lordship. I'm going to submit to living my life for you, no longer for me. You become a follower of Jesus Christ. God gives you something. He gives you the Holy Spirit. How many people know that we serve a triune God? We serve God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and we serve who? God the Holy Spirit. And when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, okay? Paul says it like this, and this verse all week has just been wrecking the way I live, or try to live. 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, don't you realize that your body, my body, your body, he's talking to Christians, don't you realize your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you and was given to you by God. So the moment you said yes to Jesus and you surrendered your life to him and you put your faith in Christ, I want to let you know the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. Let's just think about that for a moment. Is that hard for you to believe? Isn't that incredible? You mean the disciples had, we have it better than the disciples. Think about it. They had Jesus in the flesh that was going to leave. How many people know that we have God in the Holy Spirit living inside of us? He lives inside of us. I love that. He leads us into truth. God is living inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And now what the Holy Spirit does is he's living inside of us and he helps us to understand the word. So now that the Holy Spirit's living inside of us, this is a bad illustration. The light is turned on, okay? So now that we're reading the Bible with the Holy Spirit, he helps us to understand. He helps us to apply. He is at work as we're reading the Bible. So this is what I want you to see this morning. Please don't miss this. So here's what it looks like. When an unbeliever, someone who has never placed their faith in Christ, when an unbeliever says, you know what, I'm interested in what's in that book. When an unbeliever sits down to read the Bible, here's what it looks like. It's that person and it's the Bible. It's that person in the Bible. That's the dynamics of that. It's one person in the Bible, okay? And here's the deal. They're not able to understand what this book is all about. They're not able to understand it. They're not able to apply it to their lives. And you say, Mike, why is that? Well, look at this verse. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at this verse. It's on the screen. Paul says, Satan, who's the god of this world, look at what he's done. He's blinded the minds of those who don't believe. He goes on to say, and they're able to understand and see, unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Meaning, when an unbeliever sits down, they're blinded. The god of this world, Satan's blinded them from being able to understand this book. And I don't care what letters they have in front of their name, if they're a doctor, if they have a PhD. I mean, Grant right now is at a class at DePaul University called Christian Ethics. And the teacher, I don't believe, is a follower of Jesus. So he's trying to explain this book ethically to the kids in the class. How do you think that's going? How do you think that's going? So Grant will call me because they'll have homework assignments, portions of scripture, and he'll say, Dad, I think I know what that means, but the professor wants us to explain to the class what that means. Well, can we work on this together? And I said, yeah, let's go for it, and we'll talk about the passage over the phone. And then he called me one day, and he said, Dad, the professor was shocked. The professor was surprised in a good way and said, wow, Grant, that was really deep. Why? Because you can read this Bible, and I don't care if you read it for 100 years, but if you don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit, are you hearing me this morning? If you don't have that equipment, it's just going to be words. And a lot of times those words aren't going to make sense. And you're surely not going to know how to apply those words to your life. So here's the deal. Here's what it looks like when a believer sits down to read their Bible. A believer sits down now, and it's an individual, and it's a Bible, but there's a third party involved. How many people are thankful for the third party involved? And who is the third party involved? And everybody said, the Holy Spirit. So a believer who has confessed their sins and said, Jesus, I submit to your will for my life, not just in my head, but in my heart. I'm living for you now. I'm all out. I'm all in. They sit down and read the Bible. The Bible comes alive because the Holy Spirit now is involved in this process. And the Holy Spirit is shining, illuminating the light on the Word. So as a believer, you're sitting there with His help, able to understand things that other people won't ever understand. And you're able to apply things that other people won't be able to apply because you have something special living inside of you, and that is God. The Holy Spirit is helping you to understand this book so that you not only learn and love it, but now you go out and you live it out. Amen? So we have this great gift. It's called the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to understand, if there's going to be illumination in your life, that is the absolute starting point. If you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and I'm not just talking about in your head, but I'm talking about in your heart. You bowed your heart. You've surrendered to Him. You've submitted to Christ. It's all about Jesus now, not you, but Him. Unless you're there, you're going to read this Bible and it's just not going to make sense. And you're going to get frustrated. And you're going to throw it down. And you're going to say, Mike, it just doesn't make sense. But I tell you what, the moment you make that call for Jesus in your life, He gives you the Holy Spirit. And now you can sit down and this book becomes, as it says in Hebrews, alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? Amen. So that's the first place. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that is huge, okay? Let me see what time it is. Okay, let's move on. We'll hit number two. The second thing that must happen if you're going to get the illumination when you read the Bible is you got to come with a humble attitude. Humble. Meaning this. You need to make sure that when you sit down with your Bible that you don't already have this attitude, I've got it all figured out. I know everything there is to know. I've read through that Bible once in my life. I know it all. I've read through it already one time. I know everything there is to know. I have it all figured out. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever spoken with someone or came across someone and they act like when you were talking, they had it all figured out? By the way, how many people have teenagers? You know what I'm talking about. They have it all figured out. They're 20 years or younger, and they're going to try to tell you as a 50-plus-year-old person that this is the way it is. They got it all figured out. And they just, how many people know they don't even know what they don't know yet? Amen? They don't even know what they don't know yet. And they don't know all there is to about finances. They don't know all there is to relationship. And what happens is it often takes a very negative, hurtful situation for them to begin to listen. But here's the deal. How many times do we as believers sit down with this teenage mentality and saying, God, I have it all figured out. I know what's in the Bible. I've got my life all figured out. I know everything there is about relationships. I know everything about marriage. I know everything about raising kids. I know everything about financial issues. And see, sometimes we can read the Bible with pride. But if we're going to receive from the Word, we got to come with childlike faith. We got to come with humility. We got to come with humility. We got to come with humility. Look at these verses real quick. It says in Psalms 25:9, He guides the, everybody say the word together, the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Also, look at this one. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, everybody together, trust in the Lord. By the way, meaning don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord. Everybody now again, with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Stop. We don't come saying, well, this is what I think I should do. No, we don't lean upon our own understanding. But look at the verse. It says, in all your what? Ways, acknowledge Him. In all your relationships, acknowledge Him. In all your hurts, acknowledge Him. In all your disappointments, acknowledge Him. In your career, in your friendships, in your finances, acknowledge Him. Open the Bible. Say, Lord, I'm open. I'm teachable. Lord, I'm open today. I don't know all there is to know. Today, I want to learn from Your Word. I might think that I know it, but Lord, I'm open. I'm teachable. I'm like a child today. I come with humility. I bow my knee, figuratively speaking, and I say that You are the boss. I'm not Your Word. This is Your Word, and I can learn from Your Word today. Amen? And it says if we'll do that, He'll make our path straight, okay? So if you're going to receive illumination, you can't come with arrogance. You can't come with pride. You can't come like, well, I've read the Bible before. How many people have read the Bible from cover to cover? Many people. But how many people know you could read the same passage 100 days, but on the 101st day, the Holy Spirit will show up in a way and you'll see something you may, wow, I've never seen that before. Wow, I don't know how it is, but as we were reading through Philippians in our small group week one of our journey together, as I was reading some of those chapters in Philippians, I was like, wow, I never saw that before. Why? It's because of the illumination of the Holy Spirit. But you got to come saying, I'm teachable. I'm humble. God, I'm not where I need to be yet. And we never will be there until the day we see Jesus face to face. Amen? We're continuing what? Being lifelong learners. We got to come humbly to the Word of God. Number three, and this is such a big deal, okay? When you come and you want greater illumination, you must cleanse your heart from sin. You must cleanse your heart from sin and you must cleanse your heart from conviction or conflict. Let me say that again. You must cleanse your heart from sin and from conflict. See, we need to understand that both sin and conflict can prevent us from understanding and applying the Bible. I think sin and conflict can become like pollution. They can cause cloudiness. They can cause confusion. They can cause the light to dim when we allow sin to continue to reign in our lives. And when I say sin, I'm talking about we're just filling our minds with garbage. Maybe it's the trashy novels that we read. Maybe it's magazines, movies, TV. Or maybe we're allowing bitterness. Maybe we're allowing lust and resentment and guilt and anger and jealousy and envy. We're allowing all this stuff into our life, into our mind. And what it's going to do when we allow that to continue to reign in our life, it's going to clog, it's going to block the illumination. It's going to just dim the light. You know what I'm talking about. And that's very tragic because remember, the big idea is we want to hear from God. The big idea is we want God to reveal Himself to us. But if we're allowing those sins to continue to rule and to reign in our lives, we're missing out on the treasure that God wants to give us. So the remedy is here, 1 John 1:9, it says we should confess our sins to Him. Why? Because God is faithful and He's just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us once again so that we can see clearly as we sit down to read the Word. I want to let you know, if you're a believer and you said, yes, I've asked Jesus into my life, but you're having a difficult time and season in the Word of God right now, maybe you need to sit back and sit in a place of quietness this week and say, Lord, is there some sin in my life that might be stealing away from the illumination of the Holy Spirit, preventing me from being able to see, to understand, and apply? Because I tell you what, sin is not your friend. Sin will mess you up. Amen? Amen. 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 How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Here's another thing that can mess up your illumination is conflict. Conflict. That can mess you up from seeing God clearly, from seeing in His Word clearly. Conflict. Folks, we must come to a point where we deal with unresolved conflict in our lives. Amen? I don't know where we got into this thinking that we can love God and hate people, or have peace with God when we don't have peace with other people. See, folks, there comes a time where we got to learn to let go of grudges. Grudges should not have their place in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. Grudges will mess you up. Grudges will begin to, you'll begin to think things that aren't even true. Are you hearing me this morning? Folks, I'm talking to all of us. Grudges, we got to take care of unfinished business. If you have a grudge in your life, it's time to take care of it so you can sit down again and you can hear from God again. So God can reveal Himself to you again. You got to take care of the mess. Look what it says here. It says in 1 John, it says, whoever hates his brother, John, the disciple, says, is what? Everybody together, in the darkness. You're not in the light. But if you hate your brother, you're in the darkness. And check out what it says. You walk around in darkness. And here's the result. You don't know where you're going. Folks, I want us to think this morning, is there people in our life that we have grudges with? It's to our best interest that we don't stumble around in the darkness, but we take care of it. That's what the life of the believer looks like. We don't allow that stuff in our lives. We say no to it immediately. Amen? I need to quit saying that. I hate when I say that. And amen? Well, I don't. Regardless if you say amen or not, amen. Amen? Gotcha. Check out what Jesus says in Matthew 5:8. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. And here's the result. They will what? See God. Pure in heart people will see God. That doesn't mean that you're perfect, because none of us are perfect. We all stumble and fall in many different ways. But to be pure in heart, the commentary says, mean that we come and we're caught up with our confession. We're caught up with unfinished business. We're caught up with confessing of our sins. We're caught up with taking care of broken relationships, meaning that I'm caught up. There's nothing that's in between me and God. I've taken care of the tough business. I haven't allowed the garbage to pile up in my life. Folks, I want you to hear my heart. It's very simple this morning. God wants to speak to you. I want you to hear my heart today. God wants to reveal Himself to you. He's this amazing, good God, powerful God, the creator of the universe, wants to be in your life. But there's certain things that we need to do. First of all, you need to make sure you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And please don't assume just because you go to church every Sunday, you have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Sorry for saying that again. I need to discipline my tongue. Meaning you need to make sure that you've repented of your sins and you've turned and said, Jesus, I submit my life to you. I'm living for you. I'm living for you. That's the first place where we're going to hear from God. Second part, we got to come with a humble attitude. God, folks, so many of us think we got it all figured out. We're smart people. You guys, I'm sitting in the company of some amazingly smart intellectuals. You guys are smart. You know how to figure things out. You have the ability to figure things out, but I want to let you know, when it comes to God's word, you got to come with humility. God, speak. How many people believe this with all your heart, that every time you open to God's word, He wants to speak to you? Every time you sit down, God wants to speak to you. I mean, Heather and I came home from church last night, and after church, we sat in the living room, and we did the Bible study for day two of Rick Warren's study, and we read about that story. What story was that, Heather? The guy with the shriveled hand. And we started asking some of those questions. God began to speak to Heather, and she began to speak to me. It was awesome. And when we read the Bible, we got to say, Lord, you want to talk to me today? And God will say, yeah, exactly. I want to talk to you today. And then we need to come, and we got to get all this junk out of our lives. Sin will just wreck your world. Conflict will just wreck your world. And I just pray that we'll be a people that we won't allow the garbage to pile up. It's time. Why don't we just all confess or say this today? Today's the day to take out the garbage. I don't care. I think some of us have taken it out of the garbage can, but you left the bag in the kitchen. How many people know that's still going to stink? Or you put it out in the garage, and every time you walk by it in the garage, you say what? Take it to the dumpster, man. Take it to the street. And I just want to encourage you, because the stakes are so high today that God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to speak to you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows your joys. He knows your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups. He's not this God that's detached. He wants to come and be with you. He wants to reveal himself. So let me ask this question. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Is the Holy Spirit living in you? Number two, are you reading the Bible with humility or with pride? Which one? Number three, is there any sin or conflict that you need to deal with so you can experience the power of the illumination of God's word? Amen? Amen. Thank you, Janet. There's a Pentecostal in the crowd this morning. All right. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Can we just bow our heads this morning? Let's just rest in the presence of the Lord. Rosie, if you come, let's just not hurry. Hey, folks, it's only 10:37. You got 3-4 minutes. Let's just rest with God right now, okay? Is there anything in your life, any sin, any conflict in your life that you need to take care of today? We need to bring that. We need to take out the trash. We need to take care of those things so we can hear from God again. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you today. Let's just sit here for a moment. We have the time. Let's just sit here and allow God to speak to our hearts today. I want to encourage you today that you don't have to do life alone. You don't have to try to figure it all out alone. But God wants to show you. He wants to help you. He wants to be there with you. He wants to journey with you. Mornings ago, I woke up in the morning and it was still dark outside. How many people don't like that this time of year? And I walked into the kitchen and I flipped on the light switch. And we have this overhead light in our kitchen, and as soon as I hit the switch, the bulb popped and the light went out. As a result, I'm here in the kitchen stumbling around in the darkness. So Heather gave me an assignment to do that day. That is, hey, let's take care of this. Let's take care of this light today. So what I had to do is I had to take off the fixture. As the fixture was off, I had to clean all the dust out, the old bugs that had been accumulating. I had to go down to Ace Hardware. And guys, here's what I found out: that light had two light bulbs. And I found out what was happening is we were living on one light bulb for quite a long time. But even when that light bulb went out, we were totally in the dark. And I just want to speak to us today. You know, many of us, we're stumbling in the dark. We're just stumbling around. There's no light of illumination, God revealing himself to us through his word, through other methods and means. We got to take care of business. We got to fix the light. We got to get the junk out of our lives. We got to take care of business immediately so that we can see again, so we don't have to stumble around. So Lord, we just come to you this morning. Just ask that you'd be with us. May we not hold on to sin. May we not hold on to conflict. May we not hold on to pride. But God, would you be at work in our lives? We want to hear from you. We want to see you. We want to understand your ways. So Lord, I pray that in our journey on this 40 days in the Word, as we're opening your Word, I just pray, God, that we would sit and read our Word with the help of the Holy Spirit. That you would be with us. We just give you this time. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. Would you leave today with these thoughts that God wants to speak to me? That God wants to reveal himself to me? That I don't have to do life by my own, on my own, but he wants to speak, he wants to reveal himself to me. And that's, and the way he does that primarily is through his word.